Hey, good morning. This is Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. It's 5 after 10, and we are gathered for a work session on case number PU-15-90, the MDU request for a gas rate increase. I don't have any opening comments. This is Commissioner Kalk's portfolio, so I'm going to turn it over to him to walk us through this work session. I'll ask Commissioner Christman if he has any opening comments.
No opening comments.
All right. We have in the room Jerry Lean, who is a staff advisor. I always get the advocacy. I don't want to screw that up. Staff advisor and Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco, our legal counsel, who also is advising us on this case, are with us today for the work session. Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If my memory serves me correctly, we had a very robust work session the last time. We worked through a lot of the what I would consider contentious issues. And if I recall, the one thing that I took away from the last work session is we asked for an additional information about if we spread the cost allocation more to the Air Force class, which the impact that might do to reduce other areas. And so I think that's one thing we definitely want to go over today. We've got a lot of different paperwork that has come in. We've got some proposed orders from AARP. We've got some a letter from the federal executive agencies basically saying they concur and join with MDU, their proposed findings of fact. We could go through those. But I thought, depending what the two of you want to do, it might be worthwhile to have an update of just Jerry have us walk through the cost allocation differences that may occur because of the late-filed exhibit we asked for. But where I'm still at is I think that what we had initially started out with down the road of kind of truing up more the cost allocation to the actual cost causers is where I'm still at, but I'm certainly open to the discussion. And quite honestly, I think once we sort out where the three of us would like to end up with on the cost allocation, I think everything else we've kind of got in order so we could look at the settlement agreement and see if what the best way is to accept that or do our own order on that. So that's kind of, I guess, the thought process I wanted to go down, unless there's some other way you two want to proceed.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Jerry or Lana, do you want to go through and start out with the late filed exhibit about how it would change the cost if we put some of that over to the Air Force?
And then if I could jump in, Jerry, if you could also talk about, we did at the last work session ask them to look at giving a 1% increase to the large interruptible class. It's. I think it's PSC 4. No.
PSC 4 is.
September 3rd, 73 is the late filed exhibit 4A. Yeah. Okay. Docket number 73. Yeah. They didn't do a chart, though. Right? Okay, yeah. If you can clarify that, that would be good. Jared, do you want my hard copy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, or just read through
it. I think it's...
Trying to save paper, Jerry.
Yeah, they're just too slow. Getting small.
On the 4A, I see the different cost allocations. The 4A that I'm seeing, it shows mains, okay, allocated 100% demand basis.
I Well, I mean, the letter that...
I'll tell you what, without going through here and saying exactly what the numbers are, they're not much.
Well, the letter says the change would result in reducing residential monthly customers from $19.60 to $19.56 per month. So it's 4 cent change per month.
Yeah, I don't think that it's consequential what you do with rates to other classes, what you do to the Air Force.
Yeah.
It's a small, very small amount. It's to the point where what you're really looking at here, I think, is the principal.
Yes.
Whether you want to give them a decrease when everybody else is getting an increase, or do you want to give them no change when everybody else is getting an increase, or do you want to give them some sort of an increase?
Not so everybody else is getting an increase.
Yeah, that's right, too.
Several categories are staying.
The large interruptible classes and firm were not. So,
So the question is decrease, no change, or increase. We really didn't contemplate an increase because that would exacerbate the problem that already exists where they're overpaying.
And they had testified, there was some discussion that they were okay with zero.
Right.
You know, even though the settlement was a decrease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's where that first question came from. That was asked at the hearing and came in before the work session. That's the session we talked about the others.
Yep.
Well, and if I could, I mean, that was a question I think that you asked, Chairman, is that what would the impact be to it? And so we've got the answer. And, I mean, quite honestly, I'm very comfortable with, you know, the residential change, and I just don't think we need to, and the small interruptibles, I don't think we need to add back to the Air Force. They're already paying more. So I'm okay with them having a decrease. But I guess that comes down to it. That was what I think the one point we had from the last work session that we kind of really didn't come to resolve. So I think if you can... You know, it's not a hill I'm willing to die on. If you both want to not do the Air Force a decrease, okay, fine. But I'd like to, I think this is a small issue, but I would prefer to let them take the decrease to let the cost true up if you can. This would be the opportunity to do that.
Right. Can I ask, before I weigh in on that, I'd like to talk through the large interruptible impact that we asked them to look at and it was summarized in the last paragraph of the letter from Tammy Aberle on September 24th. So can one of you explain what she's saying there?
This is the one that says, are you talking about, recommends if an increase is allocated that it should not be applied to revenues collected under an agreement that is less than maximum. That's the paragraph you're talking about.
Right.
Which it reduces the change to.
What is she saying? I don't understand what she's saying there.
My understanding here is that most of these volumes in this class are to one customer. I don't know which, can't recall which one it is, but that customer is not at the maximum rate. They're flexed down because they're competitive with other fuel sources. And so what they're saying in that last paragraph is if we assign the 1% charge to the rest of those customers and not that one that they've negotiated down with already, then the difference is
$2,954.
And it would make it a non-issue, not worth messing with.
Yeah. And to me, it was just...
So if you were to put large, large interruptible 1% increase here.
Yeah.
She's saying don't apply it to all the large interruptible customers. Just apply it to the people paying the maximum.
Yeah.
Again, there's a little bit of a...
This was just a range that they negotiated. I thought we were just increasing the range and not requiring it to be applied on anybody.
Yeah, if you increase the range and just assume that you got that from all of the volumes,
Okay.
She's asking you not to do that here in this letter because they couldn't collect.
So in
pretty much telling you they wouldn't get it.
In reality, they wouldn't get it from one. Okay, so so then it would result in just a $2,900 increase annually?
It would result in $2,900 available to reduce residential.
To other...
Or whoever you apply it to.
Okay. Can one of you tell me how that would affect these numbers?
It wouldn't.
They wouldn't even show.
And even when you did it across the board, in Mike's letter, it didn't. That's why he didn't do a chart. It was so small, it didn't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on his...
September 16th.
September 16th? Did Mike do the same thing?
He just gave us a letter.
He gave us a letter with the answer to the two questions.
Yeah.
Not a chart because I think, if I remember correctly, I haven't read it lately, but, you know, it wasn't enough to make the chart move.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is, like, way less than that. But this, to me, goes to directly to the testimony that both parties gave about the competitive nature of that particular class and the judgment of whoever's negotiating. And there wasn't anybody else up there on the witness stand that had, more expertise in order to totally challenge those decisions. She's kind of confirming that here.
So then knowing that and knowing that a lot of these customers are at the top end of the range, I'm not saying to do it as a because it's going to make a huge difference on the residential, but just from a principled standpoint, increasing that range and allowing them a little bit more flexibility to negotiate if they get to a point with a customer where there is some room to charge them more. It's not going to change the final numbers, but it still strikes me as something we should consider doing. Because we're boxing them in right now. We're saying you can't charge any more than this. And maybe the market would allow them to. We wouldn't be requiring them. It would still be negotiated, but we'd just be raising that range. Is there something wrong with that analysis?
I don't see any problem with it. I think that what the company is trying to ask you is just to not allocate the 1% to the other volumes in that class when you figure out the revenue requirement.
Well, I think, this is all good discussion, but this is kind of the same discussion we had the last work session. We didn't notice this as a potential change to the large interruptibles. They didn't intervene. They didn't come to the testimony. I think that I'm content with going with what we have. We've got a residential rate increase. We've got a small interruptible rate increase. We talked about the Air Force. If you want to zero that out, my colleagues do, I would be okay with the Air Force being zeroed out, but I prefer to keep it the minus the 163, and I don't want to mess with the large interruptibles. I mean, that's where I'm at. So I appreciate the discussion, but this is the same discussion we had the last work session.
And well, except for we didn't have any numbers.
Right, but it ultimately it's the same discussion.
Yeah. Well, I think that from a communication standpoint, it's a more fair approach.
Well, we didn't notice it as an increase for the large interruptibles, so I don't think it's fair to be messing with them because they didn't have a chance to talk in the hearing. They had the chance, but we didn't. I don't know what the goal is to do that. So
I mean, they would always have to assume that there any customers on the table in a rate increase just because it's not what the company is proposing. Any customers always, they're not immune to a rate increase.
Well, it's a different scenario when it's. If it was would have said a large increase to just the large interruptibles of X percentage, they would have perhaps viewed it much differently. So I understand your point, but
they negotiate their rate with the company. It isn't a rate increase that actually is carried out. It's just a range that the company can use in negotiating.
Well, I think we both see this differently, and I'll.
Well, is that wrong? Am I understanding that incorrectly?
You're not understanding it incorrectly, but you have to look at the full picture, I think, which is if they don't get the revenues, then
they're going to make them up somewhere.
Not that you have to give the company everything the company asks for as if they actually need everything they ask for, but it's already substantially reduced. So you're just kind of, to me, it's kind of a distinction without a difference to make a policy point or a statement or something, you are like kind of already concluding, well, they probably won't get it. They're saying here they're not going to get it. And that's okay with us. Maybe they can find it somewhere else. And so, that's sort of what the settlement says about the whole top half of the original revenue increase. So you're already kind of saying if you really needed all that, you're going to have to find it somewhere else, or even a little bit of that. So you have to find it somewhere else. So I think policy is good, but I think if it's – I mean, it seems to be like
– How do you ever raise that then, that range?
Pardon?
How do you ever raise that range?
Company asked for a range increase or something.
Yeah, you could. They could file a tariff with a different – if it didn't have much of a rate impact, you wouldn't even be sitting at a rate hearing, or right. It could be a rate hearing. Any tariff, the tariff change has the minimum maximum in it, doesn't it? Tariff does, yeah.
It does. They could file to change it, but it's something that they would more than likely do in a rate case.
So are we saying that if they felt that they had some wiggle room to negotiate higher, they would have asked for that this time?
You know, I think
that's what
Mike's
saying.
True.
Yeah, that's what Mike's saying in his testimony.
And apparently... Throughout the course of some specific cases, it can go up, or they wouldn't be outside of the Air Force base the highest rate of return of any of the classes.
Well, it can only go up to the maximum that's in the tariff.
Right. And apparently that has been something that has been under discussion from time to time, or the maximum, the range for the tariff wouldn't be this high that they're the mm-hmm. outside of the airbase, the highest ROR class.
And I think that's why they didn't ask for anything on this rate case. One, they couldn't get it from the one customer, the big customer, and two, the class was already having a higher return than the other class.
Is there three customers in this group? Three?
Five, seven or something. I don't remember them.
Seven seems to come to
seven,
mind.
Seven.
Oh, okay.
Well, what are your thoughts, Rancher? I'm pretty quiet.
My thoughts were on one other small subject and on the airbase one. I see this as such a small distinction. I don't know. I guess maybe it's a selling point that we have allowed them to raise it on the large interruptibles, and maybe that helps people accept that it's gone up some on the residential. But the reality is we know it's not going up on them. So I don't know. It's not a meaningful change, I don't think.
Well, I think
I'll add this. If what was the amount that was under discussion at the airbase? That was like $40,000, right?
That number comes to mind.
And if that were distributed to the residential, it made 4 cents a month difference. So this $2,900 would presumably make about a quarter of a cent per month difference. So it's not even. It is actually not even going to get rounded up to make a penny difference. So,
well, I guess I'd just like to see where we're at. I mean, if I'm hearing from both of you that you want to leave the Air Force at zero, don't do negative. That's, I guess, the first question I'd ask, because I'm fine with giving them the 1.6 reduction. But if you two aren't, then I would offer that up as zero. But the large interruptibles, leave them where they're at, and we sort that out between the residential difference, and we're done. But if you want to dig in harder on the large interruptibles, then I guess that's where
I had concluded in my mind that I thought that the settlement was a good settlement, and I'm ready to sign off on it just as it is. I do have the one thing with the billing that I want to discuss a little bit. But.
Was there one... issue beyond I thought, does the settlement agreement include the change that Mike had requested On the mains, how the mains were applied.
Yes.
Okay. So that was reflected in this, in the settlement agreement.
Well, yes. It's reflected in the rerun of the...
the cost of service study, and then...
returns in the settlement.
And then in the settlement... see, we won't adopt the class cost of service study or approve it or anything like that. And I would add some language in their proposed order that clarifies that.
Okay.
But the numbers are based on the settlements, based on the 100% allocation to the demand component of distribution mains.
Okay.
Which was what Mike asked them to rerun the class cost of service study with.
So then do we, let's say, hypothetically, adopt the settlement agreement with an order that adopts it, or because there's other issues than just the settlement agreement, so how do we button this up?
We have a proposed order from the company.
And it's pretty good.
And it's pretty good. I would mostly suggest we use most of that. Mm-hmm. The staff has signed off on it, but I would change it a little bit. And there's a little bit of language in AARP's proposed order that talks about how we treat class cost of service studies and so forth. I would probably take some of that and mix that into this order a little bit, but it would basically be this order from the company.
What part of the AARP one are you talking specifically? Tell me why you'd incorporate
it. It says in the past the commission has viewed class cost of service studies. Let me see if I can find it.
The point of it is to just emphasize that what you're doing in the settlement, don't take this as the hard and fast commission policy for everything we do going forward. You're exercising discretion. You'll continue to exercise discretion.
You look at their paragraph 3 from AARP. I wouldn't use that language exactly, but it would be along those lines that the commission views the class cost of service study as a guideline for, and will avoid mechanical applications of it and so forth has been our past policies. And I can probably steal that language from a previous order.
So it clarifies our flexibility going forward.
Yeah.
And I always like that. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that makes sense.
And there's something else I would do is I would get rid of language the company said about the Air Force's return being so much higher because we are not signing on to that class cost of service study.
Well, that's where I might want to have some more discussion, because I think it's sort of important in the findings of fact to outline how we looked at the various ways that increases would affect the Air Force and the large interruptibles and the conclusions that we made on the overall impact. I'd like that included so that that's in, you know, our findings. It was meaningless to add those increases in.
What I'm thinking about is if you look at paragraph number 8 of the company's proposed order.
And I didn't get a copy of that.
Okay, let me read it to you. The commission adopts the settlement agreement proposed revenue class allocation because it better moves rates towards cost and does not result in any material rate shock or distribution equities to the customers. I would keep that and eliminate the rest of that paragraph. The rest of it says, despite movement to cost of service for residential, small interruptible, and Air Force classes under the settlement agreement's proposed rates, the Air Force class is still above its calculated cost of service under the settlement agreement, contributing more than 4 times the system average rate of return through its proposed rate and providing the largest rate return of any class. And my reason for eliminating that is it kind of says that we signed on to the class cost of service study numbers when I don't want to do that.
What did the first paragraph or first sentence say?
That we adopt the settlement agreement's proposed revenue class allocation because it better moves rates towards costs and does not result in any material rate shock or distribution inequities to customers.
You could say that without saying we adopt. You could just conclude.
Yeah.
Just say
we have to
conclude.
Go through this and
yeah. But to Julie's point, if you're saying that you support that by making those additions, then what the heck, why not?
And so we would give you a draft.
I would like some of this,
from these things,
some of
so
the analysis
see.
Of these other classes, and that because we are going to get hammered for only hitting two classes, and I want to show because we did the work, we looked at it, and it we could have just done some changes and applied it to more classes, and gotten rid of that argument that we're going to have to be defending. But it doesn't make a measurable difference. So I want some data in there to show that and that we can then reflect back onto, because we will be having to have this battle.
But I'm happy to have that discussion with the public, because it's because of we've overdone things differently in the past. We're correcting that now to better rate.
It's the right thing to do. But
I think Julie's absolutely right. It does appear to be something dramatic when you see these other classes either holding even or going up, and one going down.
But if you look at paragraph 6.
With that being in here, clearly in a graph, I think not that it has to be using the word adopts or exactly this language. I think your point is right, that it needs to be addressed, that the Air Force Base is still
by
far the highest rate of return.
I think it does do that without that language I was just reading, with that taken out.
Maybe you can temper that language, Jerry.
Look at 6.
Well, I don't have it.
The point, though, is why don't we, if it's okay with you, Madam Chair, why don't we just schedule another work session, and the point of it is to go through the draft order.
Yep.
And
after you guys incorporate some of this.
And then, because we kind of, I think we've kind of plotted through the big questions we had today.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could sure do that.
This is another little technicality and MDU's proposed order, but it seems like from the beginning we've been using this number of average monthly increase on rent $2.04. Now all of a sudden it's $2.03. Is that just rounding, or did something else change? But it just seems odd when we don't have the same number all the time. So I want to make sure we know which one that is.
We had that somewhere. And I think there was a little bit of a rounding difference for the 3 cents and the 4 cents.
Well, when you work on a commission order, we need to address it and know what it is and be accurate, whichever one it is. But I just didn't know if this was a typo or what.
And I'll make sure we're consistent and check it. Mm-hmm.
So how much time does everybody need? Do you guys need to get a draft put together? So could we schedule something right now? So we.
I'm all right with that. The rest of this week is really ugly.
That looks agreed. Next week's not much better.
Too quick for us.
Jerry, Alana, what time frame are you guys looking at?
I'm thinking that I could probably have a draft done sometime next week.
Mm-hmm. Just don't pick Tuesday afternoon. And we have a hearing, too.
We got a big hearings next Thursday and Friday.
In Tioga, Thursday. And I've got some other things going on, too, here.
Do you have any room around either side of that noon activity that's scheduled for Monday?
Is Monday enough time?
A little later than that.
Okay.
See, the problem is, there's Monday, Tuesday, then Wednesday we have a commission meeting, and then we have 2 days of hearings, so there isn't a lot of... It's either Monday or Tuesday next week.
What if I try to get you a draft late next week, and then you schedule the work session for the following Monday or something to... That'll give you a few days to look at it, too.
Schedule a work session for, like, the 19th or 20th? Are you guys around?
Wait a minute. I'm out on the 19th.
Well, I got we got all that OMS, MISO stuff that whole
week. Can we back it up to the Friday before that?
It's a hearing if we go that long.
No, you're talking the 23rd.
No, I was talking backing up. The 19th is Monday. I leave on the 18th. So the 17th, 16th.
We just don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's be pragmatic. The next commission meeting, we're not going to make the one next week. The next one is the 4th of November. So if we can...
When do you come back from wherever you're going?
I don't get back till the 28th. Because we have MISO, then that rolls into SPP. But I can call them by phone if that's the only holdup.
I'm gone some that end of that 22nd, 23rd. I'm gone those days.
Yeah.
And the 26th.
Well, why don't you, Jerry, if it's okay, just get the draft out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if something breaks on Friday the 16th, we could drop it in there. Or maybe we do it by phone the week of the 19th to the 23rd.
That week I'm around. Until
so I could email a draft around. And another thing you could do is if you got comments on the draft, get back to me.
Where are we at with the interim vice to final? I can't remember that number off the top of my head again.
The what?
The interim rates that they're collecting now and the final where we're at, where it looks like we're at now. Where would those numbers drop out at again?
I don't remember. I just know they have 60 days or something to refund.
For some reason, I cannot remember. It seems like it's more because
the final is going to be less than the interim rates.
That's
what
I thought, but I didn't know.
They have the refund provision, 60 days, but I don't remember the numbers.
All right.
But we can get that to you, too.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got a plan. You'll get it to us, and we're going to set a... We're going to set a work session at the next hearing.
We do have. Randy had a question. Did you still want to?
I do. One more thing on the billing, and Ms. Aberle answered this question, but I think maybe understood it in a more complex way than the question I was seeking an answer to.
I asked it.
And so it has to do with our eliminating the distribution delivery charge.
Right.
My point was, people will see the increase. They'll forget that they used to have a distribution delivery charge, and it won't even be acknowledged that it was lowered. I don't remember now how much the distribution delivery charge is. But my thought on this was as simple as this. On your bill, the little part where it's broken down line by line, where it says distribution delivery charge X, if right under there could be one more line, or I know it's a pretty small box, so maybe two lines that would say something to the effect. Of distribution delivery charge - eliminated by NDPSC in 2015 rate case, and then have the same number in parentheses subtracting it back out, and put that on there for like 6 months until they get used to this, until the customers are used to this rate change. And it seems to me it should be pretty simple. I don't know when it comes to the computer graphics and stuff, if there's a big reason why this, you know, throws everything out of whack for them, it's not that big of a deal. I'm willing to just say, yeah, it's not worth it. But if it's a relatively simple thing to just add that line on there for 6 months, I think it would be useful information to these people. They're going to read about it in the paper for the next few weeks that their rates went up. That's when they're going to be likely to look at the breakdown of their bill and see that something got subtracted.
Yeah, and so the bill stuffers, just nobody reads those. I just don't. Just have confidence that people are reading those things.
Did you want to put the amounts, though, like it would have been this?
I think if it's eliminated. $1, it's a distribution delivery charge, $1, just like it is right now. Below that, distribution delivery charge eliminated, $1 in parentheses, indicating
but it was
that
volumetric.
It's subtracted.
Yeah, so it's all different for everybody every month.
Oh,
yeah.
And it's based on use. So.
So then it should just be the same number, whatever it was, because that's what got eliminated
then,
for them.
And I don't know.
There wouldn't be a way to do that. You mean they should calculate what it would have been for each customer?
That's what I thought the question was originally.
What Randy's asking is, can we leave the distribution delivery charge on the bill at its current rate and then have a line just below it that credits it.
Yeah, same amount. The computer should be able to, just the same way it's calculated now. They're still keeping track of how much volume you use. And then the line below,
it credits it and says eliminated credit based on North Dakota PSC 2015 rate settlement.
Yep. What do you want to ask?
Well, could you hard copy that in instead of putting a number?
It would be like a clarification for MDU on this late filed thing that they did here. It's something the commission could just ask Tammy right now.
Yeah.
Can we just ask
for
that clarification?
Sure, absolutely. Tammy, you want to come forward? Mike. Since
she don't know.
She doesn't have to weigh in whether it's a bad idea or a good idea, just how it would work.
It certainly is doable, because we would put the charge in and, you know, it would calculate it out. I'm just thinking about as we prorate in to a new rate, we have two boxes. So because we usually put rates in service rendered on and after whatever that date is. So it's going to be, the first bill will be a complicated bill anyway, because it'll show part of the distribution of the recharge. Because if we put in rates service rendered on and after December 1, any use before December 1 will have the 32 cents on. And any use after December 1 would not. So then it would, and again, it's math, but I don't know if we add a lot of lines if it would be helpful for a customer.
Is every customer on a different billing cycle?
Yes. Well, not every. We have 20 billing cycles, so all of North Dakota is split up over the 20 cycles, really. That's my concern. It's just, again, math. You know, billing-wise, we can do it, but that first bill would be the really complicated one.
Well, I like that proposal, Randy, and I think we should still think about that and maybe have the company look at it.
We'll see if we can run a mock bill.
Okay.
Show you what that prorated bill would look like.
That would be helpful.
Okay.
What about as a possible alternative, having the distribution delivery charge with a, you know, eliminate it, and then you have a zero, and then you just say eliminate it. And so, you know, as a fallback, it's not as good because it doesn't show how much they would have paid, but it still shows something, and that's, it shows that it was eliminated.
Good point and a good idea, at least doing that.
Yeah.
And the only concern with that is we set up to not bill zero lines. I mean, so it's just inherent in the system, so that if we have a charge today and we have what we use this bill factor, and then we're not using that bill factor, it's not no longer applicable, then the default is don't print zero lines, because we don't want to add a bunch of, you know, lines to a bill that are zero charges. So that's my only concern with that. And we had actually thought about that, but to change that default, we'd be concerned with that, because we have, for example, something that's only in place for 3 months. We have that as a placeholder, so we can use it later.
Well, have somebody get creative, even if you write the word zero or something. So it can be done. And it's kind of important that, because this is a big public education tool, and the bill stuffers are fine, but people look at the line items of their bill, and they will be looking at this. And so we have to have some way to...
We'll run the mock bill.
On the bill. Yeah, that's... And we did this similarly with Ottertail on a recent thing. They had to describe their... one of their charges more...
And we offered a bill message. Yeah. We did offer that as an alternative as well. We can calculate and put it in the bill message, I believe is what we suggested. So we can calculate it there, without getting into the bill lines, but we'll look at it.
Okay.
Wouldn't the intent be, though, to let them figure out the best place to put it as long as a message gets out there? If you end up putting it the other one, what's the difference as long as it's in the bill?
Well, yeah, as long as it isn't in a bill stuffer.
Right.
I mean, that is not effective.
We offered a bill message.
They don't want MDU to spend $500,000 redesigning
right,
the bill.
Right,
right. You said, explain the change in billing inserts and web-based messaging. That's what I see here. explain the limitations. Space for messaging will be limited.
There's a message on the, there's a bill message area on the bill itself.
I didn't get.
Here's, North Dakota's billing system does have the capability to include information on consumer bills to explain the elimination of distribution delivery charge and providing what that charge would have been if not eliminated. Space for messaging will be limited, however. The company suggests, well, if that meant that you were going to do something, I didn't get that in that.
We're just offering an alternative.
Okay.
To a bill message.
There is a line.
There is a line available on the bill itself.
It is just a message.
For a message. This is not North Dakota. It's something we use somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's with regard to taxes. So there is an option, and that's what I was referring to in direct response to my understanding, Commissioner Chrisman's request, and we suggested an alternative. I will give you several alternatives in a bill format
Perfect.
If I can.
That would be great.
And I don't know that, from my perspective, I don't know that the order even necessarily needs to deal with it.
Right.
I think the message has been delivered. If it doesn't get in there at all, or it comes out in bill stuffers, or it's so minimalized, or it's just 1 month, then the next time there's a rate case, we're going to build it in the order. And you know, so I'm sure we'll be fine on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else? So we've got Jerry.
To reinstore the October 16th might be the possibility, and then October 28th I was going to check as a date that I think would be the next for sure date that we could get together, looking at the schedules we had before.
The 16th, and what was the other one?
The 28th looked like that was a good day from what I heard before.
Are you assuming we will get done early on the 16th?
Well, I'm hopeful we'll get done the 16th early and we don't need another one, but if we don't get done the 16th, I'd like to maybe have the 28th as a backup.
You have on your calendar that we have this...
The grain warehouse
thing. Yeah.
Well, and here's... I was going to ask you guys to change that because I'm going to be in Wofford that day for the economic development meeting, Economic Development Association of North Dakota. That day, no. So I could, if we could move it later in the day, that would be an option for me. I won't be there all day long, but that 10 is going to be hard for me. So if we could move it later as a possibility, or I don't know what your guys' schedules are that day.
I'm okay with that. I'm free that I get back the night before, so we could do the work session for grain first at 1:30 and do this at, how long is that one? Like probably an hour and a half, Randy?
I'm still thinking an hour is fine, but maybe it would be good to leave a half hour in between them just in case or something. But
could we do 2 and like 3:30?
Does that leave you enough time to get back?
It should, yeah. Worst case scenario, I call in. I'll be driving and I can call in on the grain bond thing. But I think that I'm on a panel that morning from 9 to 10. 11. So I should be able to get back.
Well, that would work out great. If we do end up doing it the 16th, that would be just a brush up or maybe not needed. But if we can't make the 16th happen, just so we have something on the calendar.
Sure. Are you going to mention those to Darryl? Or do you want me to? Just to be clear.
Chair.
Okay.
So what did we say, 2 and 3:30?
Yes. Does that work for you guys? No, the 16th is we'll see what happens.
Okay.
But we're going to hard do now, the 2 o'clock. Grain one, move that from 10:30 and then put in 3:30 work session on this case. So if we need it because we can't do the 16th, well, it'll be a primary. If not, we'll keep it if we don't wrap things up in the 16th. Either way, we can vote on that the next week, I would hope.
Okay, so what is the date of this, the 28th?
Wednesday, October 28th. Thank you, ma'am.
And so as I understand, then what we're doing is an order adopting the settlement.
With the concerns that you talked about from the other orders bringing in, and Julie's concerns about, and Randy's about, more verbalization of how we did investigate the other classes and changing it.
And as I was looking in here, I think we have a pretty good database already on a lot of that. But I'll see what I can do.
Okay. All right. I will I will share this with Daryl. Are we going to wait and see on the 16th?
I would just as soon notice it now, the 28th.
Okay, and just go with that?
I would, because even if we do the 16th, I bet we'll need one more.
Okay.
We should try and schedule that on the 16th in case it's ready, though, so that we can. Cause
I would love to. It's just that's reserved for the rate case.
Yeah.
So if the rate case gets done, the first thing we do is schedule it to 16th.
We'd have to do it that day or that morning. Cause
so basically we're just putting MDU on notice that we might do it. And but AARP, I suppose they might be listening to the NSP case too.
To your point, Randy, I think Thursday afternoon I can just, if we're like we're almost done or we're done Thursday, it's really easy to notice it Thursday. If Thursday we're still up to our elbows, then we just know we won't have it on the Friday.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Good plan.
I think that concludes the work session on case number PU-15-90. Thank you.